faithfulness. I just want to say this morning, God is good. And all the time. So true. Always important for us to remember that. Okay, right now it's time for Kids Church. That's age 3 through grade 4. And you head right out the back doors. The rest of you, if you brought a Bible with you, or you have a Bible app, you could turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Going to be there in just a moment. We've been in a series on Peter. We will be taking a break next week for Easter and focus on the resurrection because that's such an important event in history. But today we're still in our Peter series. You know, we've been talking about how God has offered us the deal of the ages. And since we have received this great deal from God in our salvation, we should be motivated to change. We should think differently, behave differently, live differently. And Peter says that because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are actually peculiar people. We are spiritual. We're set apart. We're strangers in this world. So don't be surprised if people think you're unusual because of your faith. Because you are. You're a peculiar person. Now today, I'm going to talk about a very interesting and perhaps most likely challenging subject for all of us. Attitudes toward authority. Yep. Because Peter talks about it, and we're working our way through Peter, so I've got to be faithful to the text. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Would you please stand as I read the Word of God? Here's what it says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. All right, you may be seated. Attitude towards authority. If I could sum it up in one word, here it is. Submit. I noticed I didn't get an amen on that one. That's what it says in verse 13. Submit yourself to every authority. Submit is to place yourself under, is to obey the directives of another person. And it says submit yourself to every authority. And every authority means all without exception. Okay. Now we can all go home and pout the rest of the day. It's what the scripture says. Submit yourself to all authorities. Now, this can get people worked up a little bit. Really? Submit to every authority? Does that mean that we have to go along even when the authority is unjust and sometimes outright evil? Well, that's a fair question. What do we do in those cases? So I studied it a little bit, and here's what the Bible Exposition Commentary says. This does not refer to each individual law, but to the institutions that make and enforce the laws. It is possible to submit to the institutions and still disobey the laws. For example, when Daniel and his three friends refused to obey the king's dietary regulations, they disobeyed the law. But the way that they did it proved that they honored the king and respected the authorities. They were not rebels. They were careful not to embarrass the official in charge or get him into trouble, and yet they stood their ground. They glorified God and at the same time honored the authority of the king. And so you get the idea. The general principle is we submit to authorities. But there may be occasions where we might not submit to every single law. You understand the difference. But our general attitude is that of submission, because in verse 14, Peter says, the authorities are sent by God. That's what the Bible says. In fact, it says it over and over again, but let me give you just one other reference. In Romans chapter 13, it says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, I know many times we would question that. We see somebody in authority that is not godly and perhaps actually a personification of evil, and we question that, but I cannot get away from the scripture that says, and not only here, but in multiple places, that authorities are established by God. Now, that does not mean that they're always going to do everything right, and not necessarily that they're always doing everything specifically as God wills, but you have to accept that the scripture says God establishes the authorities that exist. I can't get away from it because the Bible explicitly says it. It doesn't infer, it doesn't suggest, it outright says the authorities are established by God. So I have to accept that. Titus chapter 3 says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. There's that attitude of submission, true humility towards all. In fact, this idea of submission is really just kind of a basic Christian principle. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This attitude of submission is just a basic idea for believers. This should not be a strange or challenging concept for us. Well, it might be challenging in the practice and the carrying it out, but the idea of submission should just be a basic understanding. This is a Christian principle, the idea of submission. In fact, in verse 15, Peter says, this is God's will. And so many times people want to know what God's will is. What's God's will? If God would just show me his will. And I understand you're talking about specifics in your life, but there are some basic principles that God has already laid out that are his will. And one of them is submit to authorities. That is God's will. And Peter also seems to say that submission is the same thing as doing good. And it results in silencing ignorant talk. Here's the idea. Back in Peter's day, Christians were experiencing a new kind of freedom in Christ. And some people took that to mean that Christians were anarchists who despised governing authorities because they were always talking about freedom. As well, Christians also understood that they were citizens of another kingdom. And they talked about being citizens of another kingdom. And people sometimes misunderstood that as well. And guess what? We face the same situation today because we also recognize that we are citizens of another kingdom. And so we need to be careful how we behave in this society and how we relate to authority so that people don't misunderstand what we mean by being citizens of another kingdom. In fact, in verse 16, Peter does kind of clarify that we are free. Yes, we are. But ultimately, we need to remember that we are servants of God. So while we're free, we are still servants. He gives us freedom. God gives us freedom. But it's not a cover-up for evil. Freedom doesn't mean you just get to do anything you want. That is not freedom. That's not the kind of freedom we're talking about. We are servants of God, and that is most literally a slave of God. one who is in complete submission to another. We are slaves. We are servants of God. You see, the freedom that the Bible focuses on is the freedom from sin. It's not the kind of freedom that we Americans think about and so passionately cherish. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I love my American freedom and that kind of attitude and mindset of we are free people. But that is not the primary focus of the Bible when it talks about freedom. That's not the kind of freedom the Bible generally speaks of. But it speaks of freedom from sin. Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And so the Bible is not promoting a kind of free-for-all kind of a freedom that just anything goes kind of a freedom, but it actually says, no, you are now slaves to something else. You were slaves to sin, now you're free from sin, but now you're slaves to God and slaves to righteousness. Galatians 5:13 says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So we are free in Christ, but freedom doesn't mean that we don't have to submit to authority, that we don't have to obey the laws of society. And freedom is certainly not something that we can use to indulge the sinful nature. So, yes, we are free, but we still need to have an attitude of submission to authority. After all, we are slaves to God. Verse 17, Peter says, we should show proper respect to everyone. Everyone deserves proper respect. Here's another basic ideal for Christians. Be respectful. Even when you disagree with someone, show them respect. Hello? Even when you disagree, show respect. I feel like I need to say that a couple more times because some of us don't get that. We think if we disagree, we can just spew. That's not biblical, church. It's not biblical at all. You can disagree, but you do it in a respectful manner. That's biblical. And then Peter gets real down to earth and he says, you know, on this idea, let's love the family of God. You should love other believers. And in fact, Jesus started this all in John chapter 13, where he says, I give you a new command, love each other. And he says, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. How does Jesus show his love for us? We're going to be focusing on this next weekend, especially Jesus gave his life for us. That's how much he loves us. That's how he demonstrates his love. A self-sacrificing kind of a love. And then Jesus goes on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are to love each other like Jesus loves us. Now, sometimes people will say that they love God, but they really don't want to have anything to do with other Christians. But the Bible says those two things actually go hand in hand. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. It's pretty plain. Loving God and loving the family of God go hand in hand. They go together. And then Peter says, we need to fear God. The Psalms says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. Here is another fundamental principle for Christians. When we have proper respect and reverence for God, it sets us on the right track for so many other things. Because the fear of the Lord, reverence of God, is the beginning. It's where we start. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says this, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Okay? We talk about being more like Jesus, being Christ-like, being holy. How do we get there? Well, it starts with reverence for God. We perfect holiness out of reverence for God. So we fear God first, and that sets us on the right path. And then we honor the King. Or in America, we honor our governor, we honor the president, whoever the authority is, we honor them. Now, Matthew Henry kind of sums up all of this, and he says, a due respect is to be given to all men. The poor are not to be despised. The wicked even must be respected, not for their wickedness, but for any other qualities they might have. Abraham, Jacob, Samuel, the apostles, the prophets, they never scrupled to give due honor even to bad men. And then love the brotherhood. All Christians are united to Christ the head. We're related in the same interest. We have communion with one another, and we're going to the same home. So we should love each other with special affection. And then fear God with the highest reverence, duty, and submission. If that's lacking, all the rest of it is going to have a problem. And then honor the king with the highest honor that is due him above other men. Love the family of God, fear God, and honor the king. And then in verse 18, he really gets down to the nitty-gritty. And he says, slaves, submit to your masters with all respect. Now we're, you know, honoring the king and fearing God. That's all nice and philosophical. But now we're talking about day-to-day stuff. Slaves, submit to your masters. And this is not the only place it's talked about. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Now, there is no slavery in America anymore. At least there's not supposed to be. But this definitely would apply to the workplace. Everybody has a boss of some sort. I might be the lead pastor at the church, but I'm still under authority. I have people that are my bosses. So this applies to us. We are to be submissive to those who are over us, whether they are kind or unkind to us. Christian employees should never take advantage of their employers. Each worker should do a good day's work and honestly earn his pay. And, you know, here's the deal. Sometimes when we're kind of mistreated or don't have a really great boss, we tend to fight back and to demand our rights. But here's a thought. Anybody can fight back. But it takes a spirit-filled Christian to submit and let God fight the battle. Now, let me be clear. There are proper channels of recourse in most work situations, and it's okay to use those if something gets out of whack, but it needs to be done with a proper respect and a submissive attitude. You understand? Somebody said the sinful misconduct of one person does not justify the sinful behavior of another. So just because somebody treats you bad doesn't mean you get to smart off to them. You know what? Am I misquoting the scripture? Okay. So even if your boss is a total jerk, you're supposed to be respectful because he's your boss. Okay. I'm not sure I'm going to have any friends when the day's over. Just trying to say what the Bible says. Like I say, there are, in most work situations, there's proper channels you can go through. If something's not right, you can go through the proper channels. But it needs to be done in a respectful manner because that's biblical. And you are a Christian who wants to follow the Bible. Okay, just checking to make sure. All right. In fact, back to Peter, he even takes it to this step in verse 19 and 20. He says, it is commendable to endure unjust suffering. So he takes it to that extreme. So if your boss is mistreating you completely fairly, you may have a channel and a right action to challenge that. But Peter says it's actually commendable just to endure it. Now, that doesn't sound very fun at all. I'm not sure I want to sign up for that one. But it's what Peter says. And he's writing a portion of the Bible, which we believe is God's word. So in other words, God is saying it's commendable to just sometimes just endure it. That is actually commendable. In fact, a little bit later in chapter 3, Peter says, if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. And Jesus had a similar thought in Luke chapter 6, where he says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. So, slaves, submit to your masters. Employees, submit to your bosses and show them proper respect, even if they're jerks. Okay? I've been in subordinate positions plenty of times. And I can tell you, I didn't always agree with everything that went down the pike. And I don't know that I aced it, but I tried very hard to be respectful even when I disagreed. Even there was a few times where even when I knew for sure this is wrong, and yet I need to respect the person in authority over me. Show them respect. That can be hard to do, and yet it's very biblical, and it's right. And here Jesus said, then your reward will be great because God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And there it is. Jesus sets us the example, and we see that here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Christ set the example in this. He was completely righteous, yet he suffered for it. And how did he handle it? When he was mistreated, when he was treated unfairly. How did Jesus handle it? And Philippians chapter 2 says that we should have the same attitude of Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. There it is. Jesus really is the ultimate authority. Talk about authority. Jesus has it all. And yet, while he walked amongst us here on this earth, he submitted himself to the authorities that were. Try that shoe on for size. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. He had all authority. He had every right to demand his way because he was the ultimate authority. And yet he willingly submitted to unjust treatment. He did. In fact, back here in Peter, in verse 22, clarifies that Jesus was innocent. In verse 23, it says he didn't retaliate, he didn't threaten. Instead, he trusted God, and in verse 24, he bore our sins. In other words, he took it. He willingly suffered, and it was all for our benefit. Sometimes, when we are mistreated for being Christians, we need to just take it. Sometimes, we should just take it. And here's the truth. Our behavior can have an effect on a person's eternity. How you respond to how somebody treats you could possibly affect their eternal outcome. You understand the importance of this? Jesus took it. And it has an eternal effect on us. Because he willingly took it. And Christians, sometimes we need to just take it. And it might have an eternal impact on somebody else. In fact, it says he bore our sins so that we can die to sins and live for righteousness. Jesus made it possible for us to be truly free. You see, in this chapter, Peter's kind of contrasting. He's saying our basic attitude needs to be submission, even though we're free. So free and submit. We got to balance those. Jesus made it possible for us to be truly free. You see, true freedom does not mean anarchy and rebellion, but it means freedom from sin. And ultimate freedom is actually found when we are in submission to God. That's true freedom when you submit to God. Romans 6:11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. True freedom is freedom from sin and submission to God. And then it says we are healed by his wounds. Now here at Open Bible Church, we believe in physical healing, and we occasionally see a healing. But in this particular context, it's primarily talking about spiritual healing. We are saved from our sins because of his sacrifice on the cross. Because he was willing to submit even to the point of death, we are healed. We have received salvation because Jesus was submissive. If Jesus hadn't have been submissive, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. And we would have no hope of salvation. It all was because, at the beginning, Jesus was submissive. And he is our example of submission to authority. And in verse 25, Peter wraps it up with these thoughts. We were like wayward sheep, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Here's the idea. It might seem like freedom for a sheep to escape from the pen. But think about it a little bit. Once they're out of the pen, it's on its own. The sheep has to look out for itself and protect itself because there's nobody else looking out for it and protecting it. It must be constantly on edge, worried about predators. Contrast the sheep that are still in the pen. Yeah, they might have some restrictions because they're in the pen, but they also have a shepherd who is on guard for them. He protects them from predators and provides for their every need. And so I ask you, which is better? You might think that you're tough and can take care of yourself so you don't need anybody else. But the Bible says that we are like sheep, completely helpless, completely defenseless, and so we need somebody to look out for us. We need the shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And again he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Sheep submit to the shepherd, and they are better for it. A sheep out on its own in the wilderness is not a good thing. They're in big trouble. A sheep in the pen might have some restrictions. It's safe and sound because the shepherd is looking out for it. So the basic teaching of this section in 1 Peter is submission. Ultimately, we are slaves to God, and we submit to him. We are free, but that doesn't mean we're free from authority. We are free from sin and its penalties, but we are still supposed to be subject to authorities and show proper respect to everyone. It's what Jesus did, and we are to follow his example. And as sheep in his flock, it's the safest and best thing for us to do. So what's the proper attitude towards authority? Submission. Yes, it is. Now, you're going to have to take that home and wrestle on that one for a while. Because I know that this concept, particularly in America, can go against the grain. You know, I'm independent, I'm free, nobody can tell me what to do. Yep. And I'm all American, through and through. But I'm Christian first. And the Bible says, as a Christian, you submit to authorities and you show respect to authority. That's what we're called to. And so we got to say, Lord, help us, because that's not easy. But it's the right thing. It's the Bible thing. It's the God way. And so, Lord, help us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, even when it challenges us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and let this word sink in and get a hold of us. Help us, Lord, to always follow you. Your example, Jesus, you submitted, and you ultimately paid the price and died for us. Help us, Lord, to follow the example of Christ and be submissive and respectful to everyone, especially those in authority. Help us, Lord, if we ever do need to challenge an authority, to be very respectful as we do it. Help us, Lord, because this is hard for us, but we want to be obedient to your word. So give us grace, God, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, next week, we'll take a break from Peter, and we'll be focusing on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have some special music and things going on. And then, Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, we'll be back in Peter in chapter 3, and Naomi is going to help me talk about marriage matters. All right? With that, you're dismissed. If any of you would like special prayer, I'll be here at the front to pray with you. I know there's a lot of sickness going around. Otherwise, have a great week. God's blessings on you.